Once upon a time, a long time ago, okay, it was Tuesday, in a faraway place known as North Kingstown, there was an incredible rainstorm. It came out of nowhere and it poured and poured, and those of us who did not have an umbrella with us, I wouldn't be surprised if some of us got soaked. I was lucky it passed over before I had to go back outside, but it was a reminder to me to always check the weather and bring an umbrella with me when I'm out and about. So this story I want to tell you, there was, once upon a different time, a little girl who also experienced an incredible rainstorm, but who was, unlike me, caught outside in it. She ran to the nearest store to wait it out, just as the loudest of thunderclaps roared across the sky. The little girl could tell she'd be stuck in there for a while. She started to look around at the items on the shelves when the shopkeeper appeared, a woman who, from the girl's perspective, must have been the oldest woman she had ever seen. "Young woman," said the shopkeeper, "can I help you with something?" The little girl pointed outside, too afraid of this stranger to talk. "Ah," said the old woman, "did you run in here to escape the rain? Well, you can wait here if you'd like in my little sanctuary. We've got a nice sturdy roof over our heads and it will keep you safe and dry." The little girl appreciated the offer, but she really needed to get back outside and continue on her way. The shopkeep could tell the little girl was hesitating, or, she then continued, "you could head back outside with this." And she bent down and pulled something from behind the counter, which was, yes, an umbrella. "Take this umbrella," said the woman. "I don't know why it's raining, but I do know you can keep dry under this portable sanctuary." The little girl beamed, but then stopped in her tracks. "I don't have any money," she said. The old shopkeeper waved her off. "No worries, my young friend. Just be sure to offer that umbrella to someone else when they need it." The little girl gratefully accepted the umbrella, headed back outside, opened it up, and went on her way. She was happy and dry and feeling relieved when she spotted a man wearing a suit trying to keep dry himself with nothing but a newspaper over his head. She heard another loud boom and the newspaper began to fall apart under the nonstop pouring rain. She hurried over to the man in the suit and held the umbrella up as high as she could over both their heads. "Thank you," said the man. Remembering the words from the old shopkeep, the little girl told him, "I don't know why it's raining, but I do know that you can keep dry with me under this portable sanctuary." The man smiled in relief. He'd been having a really bad day. You see, he was wearing a suit because he was on his way to a job interview. He'd been without work for a long, long time, and he was a little desperate. He had to walk to the interview because he couldn't afford a car, and when it started to rain, he cursed his luck. He'd show up to his really important meeting soaked, and he knew that would make a terrible first impression. Just then, the little girl spotted her family in a store nearby. "Here," she said to the man, "take this umbrella with you. I see my family right over there across the street." "Oh, I can't take your umbrella," said the man, feeling guilty. "No, take it. Just be sure to offer it to someone else when they need it." The little girl ran off to meet her family. The man couldn't believe his luck. He knew he had to hurry, though, because it was almost time for this important interview. Another boom of thunder caused him to start running. Well, this story happens to have a happy, non-soggy ending. The man got that job he was interviewing for, and soon enough, he was able to afford to buy a few umbrellas of his own. And whenever it would rain, he would bring not only the one the little girl had given him, he would bring two more to give away to people stuck in the rain. And every time he gave away an umbrella, he would say, "I don't know why it's raining, but I do know you can keep dry under this portable sanctuary." And soon everyone in that town had an umbrella, and when townspeople passed by someone without one, they would give them one of theirs and pass on those same words, "I don't know why it's raining, but I do know you can keep dry under this portable sanctuary." And with this moral tale in mind, I offer all of us the question, what umbrella sanctuary might we be called to offer, and how might we prepare to offer it? I'd like to invite us to join together in a new song. It's called Sanctuary. The words are in your order of service. Nonetta will play it through once for us, and then we will sing it twice. Our churches, Linda read earlier, are clearings in the wilderness of this time, places of refuge and sanctuary for the bruised and tired, places of healing and renewal. Our churches are places of sanctuary, and they can be places of healing for each of us, places of renewal, and we need that. In these times, we need that. There is so much happening in our world, in this country. This side and that side, who do you believe and who do you not? Women and men, what all is politics and where is the truth? A colleague of mine wrote something yesterday that I interpreted this way. There is a side of us humans that is very logical, intellectual, likes facts, likes to know what is correct, wants to be right. And then there is another part of us humans that experiences things, understands things, is less focused on details, more on simply knowing. She framed it as there are those coming from that place of intellect needing to be right, versus those coming from a place of experience, needing to be heard. I can't be sure what happened 30 years ago, of course. I wasn't there, and I've never personally met the people involved. But I can speak to a personal experience about knowing something I've experienced versus remembering facts that need to be right. I was in 9th grade, maybe 10th, when I was touched inappropriately by a bully big brother of a friend of mine. He did it, I believed, to humiliate me. And he succeeded. I never told a soul. You'll note, by the way, that I don't remember exactly how old I was. If you asked me, I couldn't tell you if it was morning or afternoon. I wouldn't be able to tell you what class I was coming from or what teacher I was about to see next. I can't remember if it was fall or winter or spring. I would be able to tell you exactly where his locker was and mine. I could tell you where he touched me. And I would be able to tell you with 100% certainty his name. The tenor and volume of protest and pain reached a fevered pitch this week. And the feelings I have heard expressed include frustration, disappointment, bewilderment, nausea, like being punched in the gut, fury. It's raining out there, and we are all getting wet. Where can we get a break? Where can we find rest, renewal, recovery? Where or how might we find sanctuary? Reverend Gretchen Haley, in a prayer not just for survivors of sexual abuse, but for anyone feeling dismayed or unsafe in these times, wrote this about our churches. We believe you. Your stories held too long in secret and shame. You are safe here. You are safe here to grieve and rage and reckon and reconcile, to return and restore. There is a place here for every piece of yourself, bodies and spirit, voices and breath, broken and beautiful, bitter and still refusing to give up hope. In this autumn light, there remains a path for beginning again. There has to be room for heartbreak, for fury, for bewilderment. It's the first part of that path for beginning again. Sanctuary begins in the soul, begins inside us, begins with offering sanctuary to ourselves, to the parts of ourselves that are grieving or bitter or afraid. I invite us to sing again the song we just sang, holding it this time as a song for ourselves. May we be sanctuary for the parts of ourselves that are in pain or need healing. Or if it feels more true to you in this moment, you can sing it while thinking about people in your life who you know are emotionally in the storm right now. Let us sing. If I could, I would just have us sing that over and over to ourselves and each other, over and over until we can rest where before we could not, creating room for whatever is inside us right now. Do not hold back your heartbreak, Reverend Haley continues in that prayer I quoted a moment ago.
Do not hold back your heartbreak or your joy. Your vision for the world that is already and also not yet. Let every tender longing of your heart be an offering for this time and for this community, as we are building here already a new way. The will, the courage, and faith to be the leaders, the people, the friends, the citizens, our world, and we need now. The change begins now. If I could, I would have us sing over and over again until we felt our safety deep in our bones, felt our strength, experienced our courage that can grow from heartbreak mixed with fury. A strength that has walked through whatever anger we might feel toward depth to become wise leaders, parents, citizens that our world needs now. We need sanctuary for ourselves, and we can bring sanctuary. We need a place for our souls to rest, and then remember we are not ultimately victims of forces that appear so much larger than us. To remember instead that we can be change agents in the making. A colleague of mine recently posted the following story that Pete Seeger used to tell about how change happens in the world. Imagine a big seesaw. One end has a basket of rocks down on the ground. The other end is half full of sand, and there's some of us got teaspoons, and we're putting sand in that basket, but most people are laughing at us. They say, "Don't you see it's leaking out as fast as you're putting it in?" And we say, "Well, there's more people with teaspoons all the time, and one of these days you'll see that basket full, and the whole seesaw will go just like that." And people will say, "Gee, how'd that happen so quickly?" And another story from 1951 or 52. He says he was at one of these peace demonstrations that had just a few lonely people holding up signs. This Quaker kid was holding up a sign around midnight, and someone said to him, "You think you're going to change the world here at midnight with that sign?" And the kid says, "Well, I suppose not. But I'm going to make sure the world does not change me." There are forces operating in our world right now that appear to need to be right, that do not appear to be taking in stories that need to be heard. Not just stories from women, but also from people of color, Muslims, gay people, trans people, people who are immigrants. Instead, protections are being taken away, the vulnerable made still more so. We ask ourselves, what can we do? We feel alternately numb, incensed, or powerless. But if we know one thing, we know when we come together for common cause, we can make a difference we cannot make alone. And in this first Sunday of our month of sanctuary, I want to lift up not only ways we find it, sanctuary, but we can offer it. And I want to lift up one opportunity in particular, an opportunity to support literally a sanctuary. You heard earlier in the service that this month, First Unitarian in Providence is our Share the Plate recipient. They have voted unanimously to become a sanctuary church, a church that will house someone at risk of deportation. They will be a shelter for someone in need. And in the midst of all the turmoil around us, in the midst of the discouragement I am personally feeling in the face of recent events, it represents to me a simple hope. It's not necessarily fancy. It's not going to change the story we just watched unfold on the national stage. But as I've been reading press releases about First U this week and seeing pictures of a small, neat room with modest wood furniture, a smiling committee of people just like us, I feel hope, I feel relief, and I feel a little more human. And while their church doesn't yet have a guest, I've been reading stories of churches that do, like Fourth Universalist Society in Manhattan, the church you see on the cover of your order of service, or First Unitarian Universalist in Austin, Texas, where Selma Franco, a LGBT activist from Guatemala, needed sanctuary because her lawyer messed up her paperwork. All three churches mentioned in the articles I read concern or trepidation about taking the leap. And all three said to themselves when making the decision, are we going to live who we say we are? And they did. And while we don't have the capacity to be a sanctuary congregation ourselves, we have an opportunity to help. You can learn more when they come to visit us at coffee hour one Sunday this month. But in addition to the offering, I know there are many ways that they will be asking for our help when they have a guest. From laundry to grocery shopping to childcare to knowing what we should do if immigration officials arrive at their door. And they are looking for others, people like us, to come together with them and support this project together. It's one tangible local way to offer sanctuary and be part of change. It's not the only way. There are others. Some of us may want to register voters. Some of us may want to run for office ourselves. Donate funds to a cause fighting for justice. Join others in organizing for change. Whatever way you choose, it can help shift the feeling of helplessness. We can move from hopelessness to taking one single hopeful step at a time. We can live our principles and stand up for the vulnerable right here, right now. Whatever way is calling to you, I invite you to hold it in your mind as we sing one more time. We'll just sing it once this time. Sanctuary, I invite us to sing together. Churches are clearings in the wilderness of this time. Places of refuge and sanctuary for the bruised and tired, which could be us. Places of healing and renewal, which could also be us. May they be workshops for common endeavor, schools for learning and enlightenment, and may we find and use here all the tools we have for breaking down barriers and building new bridges. May it be so. Amen.